today we are starting the biggest sugya of the whole summer that we're going to be doing, and that is the sugya of Bishul Akum. So this is a very, very exciting day. It will probably take us through the rest of the summer. If we somehow manage to finish Bishul Akum before the end of the summer, maybe we'll even spend a couple of shiurim on Tvilas Kelim once your palates were wetted yesterday by Rabbi Konigsberg on the topic of Tvilas Kelim. But our primary focus going forward is going to be about Bishul Akum. And particularly today is more of an introductory shiur. We're going to discuss, hopefully, the Ezra Hashem, three topics. First, we're just going to see the basic Gemara, where the Gemara goes through where the Isser comes from, who invented this Isser called Bishul Akum. Then, we're going to discuss three topics that relate to this Gemara. Number one, first topic I would like to discuss is the timing of the Isser of Bishul Akum. I mean, when was this Gezeira made? Was it made before Pas Akum? Was it made after Pas Akum? And why? Why wasn't it just made at the same time as Pas Akum? Meaning, obviously, Bishul and Pas are different Gezeiros. What's the greatest Raya that Bishul and Pas are different Gezeiros? We still have Bishul, right? We Pas Akum, Pas Palter became Mutzer somehow. And Bishul Palter, there's no heter called Bishul Palter. So clearly they follow different rules, they're different gezeros. But why? Why are they different gezeros? When it comes to Bishul B'Shabbos, it's Afiyah B'Shabbos and Bishul B'Shabbos. They're one and the same. It's the same Av Melacha. So why would they be different? And which one came first? And when the first one came, why didn't the second one come along with it? Right, if they sat down and they got, like the Rabbanim always do, they get together in a room and they say, okay, how can we make Jews' lives miserable, right? So they said, oh, let's make a gzeira called Bishul Akum. Why didn't they think, it would be really gishmak if we asked everyone's pass also? Why didn't they do it at the same time? Right, so that is issue number one, the timing of the gzeira. Which one came first and why, when it came first, did the other one not go along with it? Second issue that I'd like to discuss today is the reason for the gzeira. What were they concerned about? I was joking before when I said the rabbis get together in a room and they ask, how can we make everyone's lives miserable? Usually it's not what they do. They get together in a room and they say, how can we make everyone's lives better, more spiritual, more meaningful? And if they're concerned about something, they might make a gzeira. Concerned about something that will hurt us in one way or another, they'll come up with a gzeira. What was the motivation of this gzeira? Are there any nafkaminas in the motivation of this gzeira? And there are going to be two primary reasons that we see, but maybe to try to understand those reasons with a little bit more depth. And then the third issue that we're going to hopefully discuss is the Gemara's seeming exception. On Amud Aleph, when we start tomorrow, Bez Hashem, we're going to see the big exceptions to the Isser of Bishul Akum. There are two big exceptions to the Isser of Bishul Akum, and that is that which is Eina Olal Shulchan Malachim, and that which is Nechal Kamo Shulchai. Those are the big exceptions, the two exceptions to Bishul Akum. Yeah, but the Gemara over here on the bottom of the base also seems to say an exception to Bishul Akum, and that is something that was not Nishtana Al Yedei Ha'or. So does that exception still apply, lahalacha, that which is not nishtana al yidei ha'or, something that didn't change as a result of fire? So where does that end? Where does that exception end up, lemaskana? So those are the three issues, just to clearly outline what the plan is for today. So again, the timing, the reason, and the nishtana al yidei ha'or. But it all starts by seeing the Gemara. So let's take a look at the Gemara inside before we do anything else. V'hashlokos, one of the items mentioned in the list, in the Mishnah that we have in Daf Lamed Heyam and Beis, of Dvarim Shalov Dicham that are usher, but not usher bahana'a, is shlokos. Shlokos means cooked vegetables, really. It really means overcooked vegetables. So it says, or slow-cooked vegetables. Minani mili. Where do I know that shlokos are asr from? The very question assumes there's a source for it. So it sounds like it's going to be a source in the Torah. And the Gemara says, okay, we'll find the source in the Torah. Where's the pasuk? Dvarim perek beis. So Parshas Dvarim itself. Ochel bakesef tashvireni va'achalti umayim bakesef titinli. Was Moshe Rabbeinu talking to Sichon? That when I pass through your land, I would like for you to provide me with food, with some water. Don't worry, I'll pay for it, right? Mayim bekesef titinli vishasisi. So there are two things that he identifies that he's going to need to be provided for by the goyim. He's going to need ochel, and he's going to need mayim. So the Gemara makes a drasha. Wait, obviously taking food and drink from goyim is mutter. What kind of ochel is mutter? That ochel that is most similar to mayim. That's the Gemara's drasha. Kimayim, it's got to be the kind of food that's just like water. Ma mayim shlo nishtanu, just like water is pure, it's pristine, it's something that hasn't gone through any change. It's not iced tea, it's not coffee, it's not, you know, bug juice or whatever. You know, it's just plain water. So too, what kind of food? Af ochel shlo nishtanu. The kind of food you're going to get has to be food that's not nishtana. Elameata, okay, if it's got to be something that's not nishtana. If you take wheat and you toast your wheat kernels, so you have toasted wheat, that's nishtana. So that should be asur, because it's not like water. And if you'll say, okay, that sounds good, let's asur toasted wheat kernels that are toasted by Gaim. No, but we can't. Vatanya, chitin vasan kleyos mutarin. It's a brisa that says that it's mutar. Ella kamayim. Rather, we have to say that it's like mayim in a different level. Not completely like mayim, that's not nishtana at all. But ma mayim shlo nishtanu mi briyasan. Aval shlo nishtanu mi briyasan. Water is water. Water will always be a liquid. Water will always look the same. So too, the kind of food that you're allowed to get from Goyim is when it's in its initial form, Mibriyasa. Once its form has changed, then it's going to be Aser. So toasted wheat kernels look remarkably similar to untoasted wheat kernels. That's why they're mutter. Their form has not changed. They're just like water. Elameata, so says Mar, okay, so if its form changes, and Goyim are the ones that are responsible for changing the form of the food, it's going to be asur. Elameata, chitin v'tachanan, hachanami da'asurin. So you know what should be asur? If you take wheat, and you grind it up, and you make flour. Form has changed entirely. Flour looks nothing like wheat. If you didn't know that that's what it was, you would never have been able to identify the flour as coming from the wheat. It looks entirely different. So maybe that should be asur. And if you'll say, yeah, okay, good, so let it be asur. You should not be allowed to buy flour from Goyim because they have changed the form. No, v'atayin yachitam v'asan kleyos hakamachim v'aslasal shalem mutarim, that the flour is going to be mutar. Ella, so the Gemara says, no, in what way are we learning from the pasuk? Kimayim. Ma mayim shlo nishtanu mibriyasan al yidei ha'or, av ochel shlo nishtanu mibriyasan al yidei ha'or. That just like water, when you cook it, it still keeps its form. So too, any food that kept its form, even when it was cooked, is going to be mutter. But if after cooking it, it changes the form of the food, it's going to be asur. If after cooking it, it changes the form of the food, it's going to be asur. Let's pause there for a moment. What does that mean? Changes the form of the food? Let's say you cook a piece of chicken. Like something typical that you would cook. A piece of chicken, a piece of meat. Would that be subject to bishlakim according to this gather?
Maybe being edible versus
edible. Ah, so it is form substance? Meaning is form edibility? Is that called form? Right? Meaning the only example we've had of form so far was something that the beginning product and end product were both edible. Right? Kleios and solas. Or kemeth. Right, they're both usable as food in their current state. So it's not abundantly clear at this stage in the Gemara what nishtanim ubriyasin really means. It's hard to imagine, like you're saying, like you know what I'm saying, it's hard to imagine that cooking a piece of chicken at this stage in the Gemara would not be subject to bishlak. Right? Hard to imagine. So you have to say, no, it's changing its mahus. It's changing, you know, that maybe there are multiple ways to be nishtanim ubriyasin. Maybe the form, in terms of what it looks like, and its edibility, maybe they're both different types of Mishnah and Riyasa. But it's an open question, meaning it's not abundantly clear in the Gemara itself.
If that's like a possibility, why would the Gemara at least say that? Meaning if that's an option that changing its form goes to the edibility, why would the Gemara give an example of something that's
not? Meaning the next kasha should have been Elamayata. If you cook a piece of chicken, it should be mutter. So you can always say what Tosfos always says when the Gemara asks one of the many questions you could have asked. The Tosfos says, Tosfos will always say, we asked a better question. We have a stronger question. This whole drasha is an invalid drasha, the Gemara is going to say.
The only factor we're dealing with is physical form.
Ali they are. No, there are two factors. That it changes physical form and that happened through or. So the Gemara picks on the other part. Ali they are, I understand where Nishanim and Briyasa might have come from, but it doesn't say or in the pasuk at all. Midi or ksiv. So the Gemara right away rejects it. The Gemara says, you know what, this whole drasha, forget about this whole drasha. Elami drabanan, ukras machlabialman. The whole thing of Bishalakum is a din drabanan. The pasuk is an asmachta. You know, maybe we'll should we work our way backwards once we're on that topic of Nishanim and Briyasa Ali Deor? What do you think? Should we start with that? With whether Nishanim and Briyasa Ali Deor really matters? Halacha? Maybe we'll start with that. Maybe we'll work our way backwards over here a little bit. First of all, even before we get to that, Kras Machta Bialma, what does that mean? That a Kra is an Asmachta Bialma. What's the role of an Asmachta? So it's always worthwhile to remind ourselves of the major machlokes Rishonim about asmachta. Whenever you see asmachta, it's a good, and over here particularly, it's worthwhile to remind ourselves about what asmachta means, the machlokes about what asmachta means. The Rambam in the Hakdamah to the Perush HaMishnayos writes that asmachta is like a simen bi'alma to a din that the Rabbanan are koveya, what we would call a mnemonic device. That it's very, very hard to remember all the dinim de Rabbanan, but of course everybody knows Tanakh Palpeh. So you'll whenever you have a difficult time remembering the Din Rabbanan, all you have to do is remember this pasuk in Devarim or that pasuk in Habakkuk or whatever, and then no problem, and the Din Rabbanan will come right back to you. But it's really got nothing to do with the pasuk. God didn't mean it when he wrote the Torah, and the Nevi'im didn't mean it when they wrote the Nevi'im, but we're using it as a way, as a, just an easy way to remember it. That is what the Rambam writes. Who argues? The Ritva, Roshana, Tazayin, Amar Aleph. Ritva Roshan Tazayin Amar Aleph has very, very strong things to say. He says anything that has an asmachta from the pasuk, the Ritva's lashon is Heyir Hakadosh Baruch Hu Sharoi Lasos Kain. Heyir Hakadosh Baruch Hu Sharoi Lasos Kain, which means whose idea was it? Hashem's idea. Elosh Lo Kavuchova. You know, Hashem made certain dinim Mefurash Bekra. Hashem made certain dinim Alach L'Moshe Misina. Hashem made certain dinim that you'd have to derive it with the Midrash HaTorah and Judgment, and Hashem made certain dinim so weak that they had to be dinim and Rabbanan. How could he control mind control? He could do whatever he wants, but is that what he did? Mind control of the Rabbanan to make them make certain dinim that the invisible hand of Hashkacha is pushing these dinim and Rabbanan to be made? No, says the Ritva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very clever about how he did this. He would write the pasuk in such a way where the Rabbanan would be tipped off. It's not written clearly enough to even be derived from the Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben. Not even clearly enough to be derived from the Gezeirah Shavah, from a couple of nothing. But at least it's a hint in the pasuk that the Rabbanan are going to be tipped off. This is where you're supposed to make a Gezeirah. That's how the Ritva understands. Heyir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sharo'i Lasos Kein El Shlo Kavachava Umasro L'Chachamin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of punted it off to the Chachamim to do. Says the Ritva, v'zeh davar barur ve'emes. This is absolutely true, this is absolutely correct. V'lo k'divrei ha'mefarshim ha'asmachtos shu k'derech simin shenasnu Chachamim v'lo shakavanas ha'torah l'kach chaf v'shalom. Not like those people that will tell you that it's like a mnemonic device and just an easy way to remember it. Chaf v'shalom. Yishtok ha'davar v'lo yamer. I mean it, says the Ritva. I really disagree with the Rambam. Avla Torah Yirbekach. This is what the Torah was telling us to do. Masruchiv adav lekavu chachamim im yirtzu. Interesting, Lash. Im yirtzu. That Hashem was saying, I think this is a good idea. Chachamim, it's up to you to make a din here or not to make a din. If you want, this is my suggestion. You know, sometimes your parents suggest things. You'll see one day you get married, your wife will suggest things. If you have time, and you ever want me to talk to you again, then this is what you'll do, right? Sakharis Baruch Im Yirtzu. So that's what we find. That's asmachta. Why do I think that's so important over here? We'll see in a minute. Yeah.
Why would Hakadosh Baruch Hu need to read it, not just
why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu make certain things mefurish b'kra and other things halachal moshim sinai, and other things derived from Midrash HaTorah and Drash HaTorah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted certain dinim to have more severity than others. So just like we have degradations of Torah Shebet, of dinim d'oraisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted there to be certain dinim d'rabban, and guess what? A din d'rabban with an asmachta, the Prima Gadim writes in Psich Kolelis, is stronger than a din d'rabban without an asmachta. Aligned with the Ritva, obviously. Because if you said like, even if you said like the Rambam, you could say that. Because the fact that the Rabbanan thought it worthy of finding a mnemonic for it may have been an indication of the seriousness with which they took that Gezeira Midrabbanan. That's what Rim Gadim writes in Psich
Kolelis. Is it possible to say maybe that the definition of Shulatos, that it has to be Mishnah and Briosa, is still the Raisa? But only that has to be all you can know, or is there a button? The Gemara's whole question is, the Ark Siv, does it say Ark?
It's hard to say that because the Gemara rejected the Nishtanim and Briyasa without the Al Yudeya Ark as a drasha from the Pasuk. Right? The Gemara never came back to that. It rejected it based on Klayos and everything else. Let's start with this discussion over here of Nishtanim Mibriyasa Mibriyasa Al Yudeya Ark. If you look in the Ran, where's this Ran? In the back of your Gemara, where you're going to find the Ran in general. On Yudalar and Beis Bedape Arif, right? Says the Ran, Yudalar and Beis Bedape Arif, toward the bottom of the page, if you have the classic versions of what the Ran is supposed to look like without the new corrupted ones. It might be in, is it in the Maamar Kamos also? Yeah. That's even more corrupted. Right? So, the Ran quotes the whole Gemara, Asmach to be Alma Koloma. Midrabban al Mishum Chaslus. Kemoshakaz Rabbi Lutam Zal Mishasein. Oh, Kidei Shlo Yisrael Rabbi Lutzal B'machul B'mishav Yechlen Adover Tamik Moshakaz Rashi Kam. All right, whatever the reasons are, we'll get into that soon. V'nirali D'mikol Mokom Kivan Das Mokho B'alma Akra Dum Yodakra B'inon. Says the Ran, since there's an asmachta from the pasuk, even though that's not the real drasha, but the gedder of the din d'rabbanan is still going to be only as far as it fits into the pasuk. It doesn't have to fit perfectly. The pasuk didn't mention anything about or, right? And that's what turned this into only an asmachta, not a real drasha. But just the fact that it's an asmachta, the fact that we had some sort of tradition that this pasuk relates to this din, means that this din is supposed to be patterned after this pasuk. Where am I? Yeah. Dumi dekrabi inan. V'kol shalom nishtanam imbriyaso al yedeya ar. And anything that's not nishtanam imbriyaso al yedeya ar, kigon, klayos. Afilu hu davar shayna nachukum hoshu chai v'ol shukum alakum. Even if it doesn't fit any of the other exceptions, to Bishalakum, Ein bo mishum shulev v'chum, says the Ran, I have a great kula to tell you. A great kula. There are three exceptions to Bishalakum. Exception number one, that which is not olal shulchan malachim. Exception number two, that which is not edible, that which is edible raw. Exception number three, that which is not nishtanim ibriyaso is mutter. V'chiyamrinan elamid rabbanan, and when we say that it's only din rabbanan and the pasuk is only nasmachta, lo akri legamri maidamrinan ad hashta, we're not totally uprooting what we said until this point. Dimma mayim lo nishtanim ibriyaso nali dehar af ochel, ela dilav drashamamishi ela smachta mi'alma. The din is that it's got to be something that's nishtanim ibriyaso nali dehar in order to be a problem of bishalakum. It's just that previously we thought that was a din d'oraisa. Now we're saying it's a din d'rabbanan, but it's still the din. If the Gemara would have said, you know what, the drasha doesn't work, so scrap the whole thing. The whole thing is a din d'rabbanan, and that pasuk has no connection to bishalakum. Then enochinami, the whole nishtanim ibriyaso would have fallen away. But that's not what the Gemara did. The Gemara said it's a din d'rabbanan, and the pasuk. You're right. It is a pasuk. But the pasuk's role is only the role of asmachta. Wow, sound more like the Rambam or the Ritva? What do you think? It sounds a little more like the Ritva, no? Right? That the asmachta is going to affect the din. According to the Rambam, an asmachta should never affect the din. Yeah, it's a mnemonic device. Why in the world should it affect the din? The Ran sounds much more like the Rambam. L'chora. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Sif Aleph. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Where am I? I have it here, right? I put the Shulchan Aruch in the sheets. It's in the Kofi Gimel Sif Aleph. I wanted to see the button. Yeah. Davar she'enu nechal kemo shulcha. Vegam ola al shulcha malachim lalafes bo es hapas. Ola parper shibishlov and chavim. Afilu beklei Yisrael, ola bebeis Yisrael, asur mishum bishulei av lichavim. What did he say? Anything that's not nechal kemo shulcha, so he gives you exception number one, right? Because if it is nechal kemo shulcha, if it's edible raw, then it's fine. V'gam olal shulcha malachim. And the Yisra is also defined as something that is olal shulcha malachim. Right? So that's exception number two. If it's not olal shulcha malachim, be mutter. Where's exception three? Shouldn't he say, V'gam shenishtana mi b'riyasa al yideya or? Doesn't mention exception number three. It sounds from the lashon of the shulchan aruch that regardless of whether it's not nishtan b'riyasa or not, that it's going to be awesome. If you look in the Rambam, Machol Sasuros Yud Zayin Yud Zayin, or you know, even if I were to just ask you like this, why are klayos mutter? We have these brises that klayos are mutter, roasted wheat kernels are mutter. Why are roasted wheat kernels mutter? Why are they mutter? Huh? Oh, so the Gemara said until this point that they were not nishtanim b'riyasa. That's why they're mutter. They didn't change. But wait a second. Do we accept that lahalacha? Is that really an exception to the shalacha? So according to the Ran, yeah, that works. We still accept that rule, right? We still accept that rule. That something that's not nishtanim b'riyasa, it's a third exception to Bishul Akum, according to the Ran. So that would still work. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, there is no such exception called lo nishtanim b'riyasa. Why in the world are klayos mutter? Comes along the Rambam in Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Yud Zayin of Ma'acholos Asuros, comes along the Rambam. I have Lashon here somewhere. And the Rambam says that the reason that Kloyos are mutter is because they're Nechal. What does he say? Nechal Kmo Shukhai in Ol Shukhum Lachim? What? Ah. A person would not ain of them mizamin l'chaveru aleihem, which means they're not a chashva food that you would have at a chashva meal, which is another way of saying ain ol al shulchan malachim. That's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara said they're not nishtanim b'riyasa. Right? Why does the Rambam have to come up with a new reason? Because nishtanim b'riyasa was rejected. We rejected that lahalach. So the Rambam's got to come up with another reason why Klayos would be mutter. What taka does it say? What does Rashi say? Lamed Chesam and Beis, when we mention that Brisa, Klayos, says Rashi, Klayos, it always runs away. Nami lo nishtanu. Right? They're not nishtanu mi b'riyasa. Meaning Rashi holds like the Ran, right? Is it a surprise that the Rambam's not going to agree with the Ram?
I'm just looking for Rashi. Is it possible that Rashi is just going to be out here?
Rashi Alam Chesem. daf later. Is it a surprise that the Rambam disagrees with the Ran over here? Not at all. Why is it not a surprise? The Rambam's understanding of Asmachta. The Ran understands Asmachta like the Ritva. They come from the same school. Right? The Ran understands Asmachta like the Ritva. That Asmachta is seriously, I'm just going to tell you this needs to be done. So the Asmachta is going to affect the Din. But according to the Rambam, Asmachta is a mnemonic device. It's not anything. It shouldn't affect the Din. And therefore, it's not so surprising that the Rambam is going to tell you that there is no such thing called Nishtarim Brias Al Yedei Ha'or. Ooh, one more step over here, though. Yeah?
Could you say, not the Rambam, obviously, but could you say maybe the Sofan Aruch only quotes those two reasons and not the third? Is it because the Nishtarim Brias is not an exception to the Din that is the Din, right? That's what the Gemara explains, the definition of the Din.
Yeah, but if you look at the way the Shulchan Aruch quotes, it's a good point. The way the Shulchan Aruch quotes Sif Aleph, right? Sif Aleph should be defining the Din. And he includes in the definition of the Din both of what we call the exceptions. Right? He doesn't say there is an issue called Bishalakum. Sif Beis. And by the way, if it's something that's not Olal Shulchan Malachim, it doesn't apply. He says, if you have something that's Olal Shulchan Malachim and it's not Nechel Kmo Shulchai, then you're not allowed to cook it. So it's all part of the Din, it sounds like. One more step. How do we define what's called Nishtana Mibriyasa Al Yedei Ha'or? The Ran says, you know, that I have a huge kula over here. The Ran goes on to say, Nimtza Psakan Shel Devarim Dekol Sheyesh Bo Achas Migimul Midos Halalu. If you have one of three kulas, Nechol Kmo Shuchai Ein Ol Shuch Malachim Oh Shalom Nishtana Mibriyasa Al Yedei Ha'or Ein Bo Bishum Bishulei Of Dekhavim. He just writes, "Ela shalom reisi the rishonim mefurash, the kol shalom shanim riyas ledar yamuter." He says, "You know, I think it's obvious from the Gemara. I just don't see rishonim that are mefurish like that." The Bach seems to assume that the chashash of to really say this properly, we need to get into the reasons for Bishalakum. The Bach in Siman Kuf Yud Beis of Katan Aleph writes that the Chashash Shema Yachilenu Davar Tameh. You know, we're about to see the reasons for Bishalakum. One of them is the classic one is Mishalom Chasnos. The other one, Rashi writes, Shema Yachilenu Davar Tameh. They might feed you something not kosher, right? Says the Bach, by adding that second reason, we're just adding a chumah. We're just adding a chumah. Because the Bach writes, V'kasha, Dibbe Mishnah, Pirush Rashi, Atzma Atam Mishum Chasnus. Rashi himself says the reason is Mishum Chasnus. Why then would he add, and also because of, they might feed you Davar Tameh? Says the Bach unbelievably, he says, V'nirin, Dibbe Gemara Muchach, Dibbe Kulan Gazru Mishum Benoseihen. Ela Da Asmachta Dekrayi Kedesh Le'echelanu Davar Tameh. Well, let me say that again. Says the Bach on the side of the tour. I don't know if it's in the Maram Kamas or not. Says the Bach. Nishtana al yidei ha'or means that you can't tell what's in it. Lo nishtana al yidei ha'or means you're able to identify what's in it. So toasted kernels are fine because they are kernels. You could see that. But any time it's been nishtana, where you can no longer tell what's in it, it's going to be a problem. And therefore, says the Bach, nishtana is a chumrah. That aside from the normal concerns of chasnas, let's say you can get rid of the normal concerns of chasnas. How? It's not a chash v'maychel. It's not something you would ever invite someone to eat with you. Right? Or it's edible raw. You get rid of the normal concerns of chasnas. But if you also have a concern, if you still have a concern that you don't know what's in it, that's also going to be awesome. And that's where Nishtana comes in. So essentially, we have Machlokes Haposkim, what the Gedder of Nishtana and Biyasu is. The Ran holds that if it's a Shinoi, that you can see that a Shinoi happened to it. Cooked vegetables, they're soft, and they're cooked, and they're not raw vegetables anymore. An egg, that's Nishtana. And therefore, Nishtana is a Kula. Because if it's not been Nishtana, then it's Mutter. And those who hold that, hold it right, those who hold like the right, Lakula. There's no, if it's not Nishtana, then there's no Gzeira. According to the Bach, Nishtana al Yedear means that you can't even tell what it is anymore. Then Nishtana is a Chumra. Because you don't know what it was before, then you have to be Choshesh, Shami Achilenu, Davartame. Says the Shach, Kuf Yud Gimel Sivkatan Aleph, Avu Be'emes Nira Iker Bishas Karan Virashi. The Einos Mishum Shulei V'Chavim Ela Kishenishtana Mibriyas Alidei Or. Says, I think Rashi and the Ran are correct, that something is only subject to Bishalakim when it's Nishtana Mibriyas Alidei Or. V'cheinir Das Harif, V'cheinir Das Ravon, but Shar Poskim are not Mechal. That's what the Shach writes. Says, if you ask me what my vote is, I vote like the Ran. Unfortunately, it seems, and I could even shake out a couple of Rishonim that agree, but unfortunately, it seems that the large majority of Rishonim do not agree. Wow. Okay, so just to review what we did so far. So far, we covered one of the three sections we said we didn't cover, right? Nishtana al Yideya Or. And we had a basic Machlokas Rishonim. Is Nishtana al Yideya Or still a consideration, right? So we pointed out the Gemara says ultimately that Bishlach was only an asmachta from the pasuk. Machlokas Rambam Ritva, how serious asmachta is. Then we said there's a machlokas Ran and Rambam. Machlokas Ran and Rambam, is Nishtana al Yideya Or still a factor? The Ran says yes. We thought that there was the Ran following the Shitas Ha Ritva. That the pasuk is still going to affect the din because the pasuk means something. The Rambam l'shitaso? No, not at all. Not at all. The pasuk is not going to affect anything because the pasuk is only a mnemonic. It's an asmach to the alma. It's nothing to me. We then pointed out that according to the Ran, Nishtana there is a din and it's a kula. It's a kula. And this is also the Ran l'shitaso, or l'shitaso b'netam at least, that there's only one concern in Bishalakum, and that is chasnas. So Nishtana Ali there are is an extra kula that we throw in. Oh, but the Bach, who assumes, to explain Shitas Rashi, that there's a second concern in Bishalakum, and that is Shami Achilenu Davartame, will say that Nishtana Ali there are is a chumra, that if you can no longer recognize it, you have to worry about Davartame. But it turns out that they're arguing about how you define Nishtana Ali there are. The Ran will define Nishtana Yideya Or as anything that changed. It's edible now. It's totally different now. It's cooked vegetables, not plain vegetables. It's a hard-boiled egg. It's not just an egg. It changed. That's Nishtana Yideya Or. Ah, so you have that kula that if it were not Nishtana Yideya Or, then it would be mutter. But the Bach understands Nishtana Yideya Or means you can't recognize it anymore. That's a chumrah. That even if it's not a lol shulchum lachum, or it's not a lol shulchai, but if you can't recognize it anymore, you have to be worried. Shami achilenu, davar tam.
Is there anything that wouldn't change with burning or some sort of fire? I mean, it seems like the relative interpretation
of. No, roasted wheat. Roasted kernels of wheat. Toasted peanuts. Roasted peanuts? What do they do to peanuts? Whatever you do. Right? They don't change. They're still hard, they're still solids. Meaning, a cooked vegetable is entirely, the mahus is entirely different. It's not just that it adds a little toasting to the outside. That's l'chora, the machlokas. Let's work our way backwards here, though. Let's go with the reasons, and then we'll see if we have time for the timing, the issue of the timing of the gzeirah. The reasons for the gzeirah, okay? So we already saw Rashi, Lamed Chesed, Aleph. Right? What did Rashi say? What are we concerned about? Why were they gozer midrabanan? So tap Rashi lamachesam nalef. Midrabanan shlo yeh Yisrael ragil etzal b'machol mishta ve'achilen adavar tameh. He's going to feed you non-kosher food. Just a very simple question. Right now he's going to feed you non-kosher food? Is that the concern? That this food that you're eating right now is not kosher? What? So, meaning is Rashi saying that if you eat his food, if you eat bishul akum, that bishul akum is going to be davar tameh? It doesn't sound like that, right? Yargil, that's what you say, right? That you can eat with him a lot of times, and ultimately, one day. But you know, right now, I have no concern about it. If you take a look at the back of your Gemara in the Rush. Rush appears in the back of your Gemara. And there's a little hagos inside the wording of the Rush. And those little hagos are hagos hashri. If you look in the Rush, Perek Sheni, Simin Chav Ches, and you just take a look at that hagos hashri over there. Pirush Rashi Shlakos, Titnan Shelo Yeh Yisrael Ragil Etzlo B'Machul Mishta V'Yachilenu Davar Tameh. V'Rashbam Kasav B'Shem Rabbi Seinu, D'Bishulei Ovdo Chavim Nesar Mishum Gzeir Hashem V'Yachilenu V'Chavim Davar Tameh. Okay, good. Hilkach Davar HaMishtana Mibriyaso Al Yedei Or Bein Mevushalin B'Mayim Bein Sluyin Ba'Or Asur Mishum B'Shulei V'Chavim. That's why anything that changes, meaning like who? Like the rod. Only something that changes from the fire is asur mishum bishul akum. Aval b'midi d'lo bashil, shelo nishtane mibriyaso, ein lachush l'davar tameh, shay senikr. What's he saying? Anytime you can identify the ingredients, it's mutter. It's another heter, right? Anytime you can identify the ingredients. What does it sound like? The concern, Shem Yachlenu Davar Tameh? Is that right now? He might be giving you a Davar Tameh. And therefore, if you know that he's not giving you a Davar Tameh, because you can identify all the ingredients, mutter. Meaning, I hold of the Ran's Kula, of Lon Nishan and Brias Ali Deyar, and the reason I hold of the Ran's Kula is because the Ran follows Rashi, that the whole concern is Shami Yachilenu Davar Tameh, and when there is no concern of Shami Yachilenu Davar Tameh, there's no Gzeira. V'yeshi limol midvarav also kumpusht shalav ilchavim gonosan galutaini sheyadua sheynosan ben yayin v'chometz kemo b'zeh amalchus shem vashnos avinos am ba'agolos limkor shem mutarin. He says, and if the goyim have, you know, they respect the integrity of certain foods. You go to, you know, certain parts of Europe where they're very serious about their bread, and they have the same sourdoughs that have been passed down for literally centuries to make just the right bread. They're not messing with it. They're not, like, throwing in some chazer shmalz into it. And that's fine. Then, well, bread is a bad example. This is pasakim, obviously, not pishlakim. But you go somewhere where there are certain foods that have, that, you know, beers that they have integrity in how they brew their beer. They're not putting wine in their beer. This is a lager that you know, this German family has had, you know, since the Middle Ages. They're very much, says goes a shri motor, because the whole concern is shamiach lein adavar tameh. So you see this line of thinking that if you hold Nishan and Briyasa still matters, it's because you hold that Asmachta means something, and it's because you hold that the concern is Shamayach Lenu Davar Tameh. And therefore you're defining Nishtan and Briyasa as something that you can't tell what its raw ingredients were. Yeah?
The run by Nishtan and Briyasa, they didn't say anything that changes even if you could still have
Mishtana Mibriyaso. Right, the Bach is the one that said that. You're right. So it doesn't work out with the Ran. Right. But Dago Sashri would be, you're right, it doesn't work out with the Ran. But Dago Sashri would be saying that Mishtana Mibriyaso is a result of Yachidenu Davar Tameh. Right, the Ran follows Shitz Rabbein
Tameh. Is concerned like we were Madurik and Rashi, and not like
Yeah, it seems that way.
And Rashi, we're not sure which way to go.
Well, Rashi, there are multiple explanations of Rashi. So, right, meaning the Agos Ashri seems to be saying this Rashi you can divorce from what Rashi had said previously about Chasmas. And that really it's all about Shavi Yechel and Davar Tameh, and it's an independent, right? But not obviously that's not the mainstream view of Rashi, because you have to account for the other Rashi. And not only that, the Agos Ashri is working off of Rashi, but he seems to be saying different than Rashi. Like when I read you that Rashi before, what did you all say? No. We're not worried that he's going to feed me non-kosher now. He'll ultimately feed me non-kosher. Says Agos Ashri, no. If right now you're sure that this is kosher, it's fine. Yeah?
Maybe the Agos Ashri could be agree with their position. Rashi is just saying if you're always checking your food, then you don't have to worry about
machot, meaning
everything.
That's against the very nature of Gzeira. Gzeira always means that you're not always going to check. It's not always going to, as much as you think, you know, that you'll be okay, you're not really going to be okay.
Why do I have to say Raga? He doesn't need to work off Rashi to say what he's saying. It seems like he's going against Rashi.
Yeah, but he quotes Rashi, right?
What I'm saying, what does he do about Raga?
He quotes Raga also, yeah. He understands that Rashi, that Ragel Etzel means, then he's going to feed you non-kosher. Whenever you're eating it, it's going to be non-kosher. I mean, you're going to go to him and you're just going to go for a drink of water. But ultimately, he'll feed you something non-kosher. I don't know. Ivilka Tosos, Lamed Chesam et Aleph, Top Tosos. Elmi Drabban Mekras Mechta Bialma, Pirish Rashi, Drabban Gazer Mishum, Dechai Yishami Achlen Edvarm Temeyin. That the Rabban made a gzera because they might feed you non-kosher food. V'yoser ha'yinir l'farish ha'tami shum chasnos. Says Tosaf, I disagree. I think chasnos is the real reason. V'chein pirish ha'kunshin mas nisin. And then Tosaf quotes what we're going to have to see may be a major exception to Bishalakum. Tosaf quotes Rabbi Avram ben Rabbi David. Acronym would be? Ravid. Yeah, there were three Ravids. The Ravid writes, "Devadei shlokos asur chavim k'shovik chavim mevashlam b'beiso, avol k'shu mevashlam beiso shal Yisrael ein lachush." When he's cooking in your house, no problem. You know, like many modern Orthodox communities got this memo from the Ravid, right? As long as the housekeeper's making everything in your house, totally fine. Why? Thinks that's wrong. Rabbeinu Tam says we don't make such distinction.
What's the svara for the Ravid? Just aga.
Why am I not worried about chasnus if they're cooking in my house?
Seems like you're controlling.
I don't know.
They're already in your house. Either
you've got your car. Either it's too late. Right, the intermarried guy is doing tshuva now. Can I eat my wife's cooking? Right? When a housekeeper cooks for you, it's because you're going to fall in love with them and you're going to fall in love with their daughters and you're going to... No, it's derech sherus. It's not derech ava, chiba, whatever. They're a servant. They're serving you. It's their job. It's not at all. It's nothing to do with friendship. And Shami Yachlenu Davar Tameh? Why is that not a concern?
You don't have
enough. Who keeps the Davar Tameh around their house? You're not going to keep non kosher food around the house. That's the shit that's right.
Doesn't have like a milk
you
have to check first and first,
before
like you go in the room or whatever, so they don't put it in the milk. Same kind of thing, but you have to make sure.
It doesn't seem that way. At least certainly not according to the rival. If they're in your house, they can use your ingredients. Okay, so a fundamental machlokas here. Rashi over here seems to say it's because they might feed you something non-kosher. Tosu seems to assume it's mishum chasius. The Rashba was asked in Shuvas Rashba, Simon Reish Mem Ches, what if you know that there is no concern of chasius? So what does Rashba write? What do you mean you know there's no concern of chasius? He says, someone said, what does it mean that you know there's no concern of chasus? Not that, I would never marry that person. No. He said, the shayla was, what if you have komrim? She'en lambanim. What are komrim? Priests. They don't have families. They don't get married. So you're never going to marry the priest's daughter. So, first of all, the Rashba gets annoyed at the Shoah. He says, you asked me this once already, and I already told you it's awesome. And then he says, but no, now you have a new raya from a Gemara in Erevin. He explains why it's not a raya. You can't compare Gzeros to Rabbanan to each other. Then about seven lines into the page. Oh, why stop at priests? Any guy who's not married should be allowed to cook for you. Why? Because if they're not married, they don't have children yet. It used to be that that was an assumption. That if they're not married, they don't have children yet, so you're not going to marry their daughter. V'chein besvina shein shem nashin. Or you can have non-Jewish sailors cook for you because there are no women on the boats. So that should be fine. V'chein yikach yisrael zev, yavi b'chaburis. Oh, he says, I have an even better idea. Here's what you can do. Have a Jew buy the food from a guy and have another Jew eat the food. So there's never contact between the person who's eating and the person who's making the food. And it's perfectly fine. And then there's no concern of Ben Osea. What the Rashba is saying is not that this should actually be mutter. He's saying, so let me ask you, why was Rebbe Matir by Pasakum? Remember the Sukkot Pasakum? He was Matir in the case of Pas Dechuka. When it was Shad Dechuka, they were up in Sada, they didn't have what to eat. Just get a middleman, and then the whole thing will become Mutter. Elamai, it doesn't become Mutter. Umenafeach ani biyadi haraya va'azlala. Says Rashba, I wave my hand and your raya goes away. Gama komrim, and then he says, and by the way, about priests, a word about priests, he says. Pamim shi'eshla and banim ubanos mitchila kodim kinisasla kmeria. Sometimes, before they became priests, they had families, and only later they found religion. Vagdolim shabem kein yeshlam, and he says, and the greatest priests, you know, the most chashva ones, always have families from before. And the younger ones that don't have families, gamachirim and the apotropos. You trust that they don't have families? I don't trust so much, says the Rashba. And he says, "V'ol mishum benosein shomer lavdach mishum bito shel mocher or shel nosein amru." Benosein doesn't mean this guy's daughter. El mishum benosa goyim shein laze yesh laze. You know, it's okay. That guy doesn't have a daughter. Oh, but does he know a girl for you? His neighbor has it. Varcha, his niece. Varcha asu mishum benos agoyim. Kamal shamdan mishum yenon shav mishen labal Hashem and yayin. Eirom Hashem mutter b'shem. Right? Shemin is asu mishum yayin. What if the Baal Hashem doesn't make any yayin? Still asur. That's the way these gzerus work. Otherwise it would be, all the takanas would be kichucha v'tlula. So says the Rashba. What if, let's see, just came across this morning a discussion. You know, what did the Gemara say on Lam Vavim Beis? That Mishum Benosein, all the things that are Mishum Benosein, we said Mishum Benosein, Mishum Davaracher. What did Davaracher mean? Avodah Zarah, that it's all going to lead to Avodah Zarah. So he quotes in the Sefer Shulchan Malachim, Malachim. Bishul Malachim is a two-volume sefer on Bishul Akum, just on Bishul Akum. He writes very long-windedly. Got two big fat volumes like this on Bishul Akum, but he's got everything. This is actually a Mincha Hushlucha Lemalas Kvod Rabbeinu Hadogul Hagon Rav Tzvi Shechter Shlita Yakra D'Araisa from the author. So, Binyamin Bar Shalom. A lot of people give Rav Shechter free svarim and he doesn't have room for them, so he just gives them away. So, this isn't mine, this is Shai's, but alright. So, I've been the beneficiary of a couple of those. So, isn't it doing daf yomi here? Someone just gave me a sefer and zvachim. Just take it. Okay. So, Pre-Toar asks the question: if the gzeir is only shem avodah zara, what about going that are in the avodah zara? Like who? What? Muslims. Mekena yishmeilim shakofim avodah zara. The sonim loved out. Not just that they're not going to lead you to do avodah zara, they will kill you, like they did all the Christians. Right? Ein lanu lasar pitam kilo gozerbem. Maybe we shouldn't answer their pass. So the Pritor says that there were three separate gezeiros. Gozer al pitam mishmana mishum yenam, and al yenam mishum benoseim. Second, there were gozer al benoseim mishum davracher, and third, there were gozer al davracher mishum davracher. Okay, he goes through a whole thing. But lechora, it's a davar pasha that we're going to be machmir on this. Why is it a davar pasha that we're going to be machmir on this? What might the Muslim try to convince you to do? Yeah, to follow Islam. Islam is not avodah zarah for the Muslims, but a Jew who practices the Muslim religion is violating avodah zarah klapei a Jew. Right? It's avodah zarah for us. It's not avodah zarah for them, but it's avodah zarah for us. It's an avodah that is zara lanu. So it may not be a violation of having Elohim Acherim, you know, having more than one God, because they believe in one God, but it's certainly an avodah zarah for us. So a number of poskim point that out. A lot of people get confused by that point. They think, oh yeah, it's totally fine. It's not totally fine. So Shachter pointed this out on several occasions. And he quotes here from the Sefer Mizmor LeDavid, Rabbi David Pardo. On the pre-tower, lo yadana my kamar mar. I don't know what he's talking about. Delu yunach she yishmeilim lo mikro of the avodah zara af bezman hazeh. Okay, they are not of the avodah zara. Mikol makom haynu lidid hu lefi dasam. Aval bar yisrael demashich basrayhu lo yikari mumer avodah zara. A Jew practices Islam. You don't think he's a mumer avodah zara? And he says the pre-tower himself in Hilchos Shechita Simen Yotes says this. Okay. Davar Pashut, we're machmir Bishul Akum even by guys that are not of day, that are not of day of the
Zara. I understand, like, it's not, like, you're not
going to
be keeping
mitzvahs,
it's, right, keeping Islam is
the Torah. That for sure. But aside from that, you're observing a religion that's not our religion. So not, that's Avodah Zarah.
Avodah Zarah is, like, idol worship, and it certainly has some definition.
No, the whole system of religious belief is not our religion. That's Navoda Zara Lanu. That's the way, the truth is, not everyone understands this way. But that's the way that he quotes over there. That's what Shachter has told us many times. Rav Nebenzahl, I think, disagrees. There's a discussion. Let's say you have nowhere to daven. You're in a place that doesn't have any shuls in town. Should you go into the local mosque and daven there? It's a base tefillah. They daven to the one and only God. It wasn't always that the Muslims were the biggest anti-Semites and they wanted to kill us all. Nowadays, there's a reasonable chance if you go in there davening that you should be destroyed. But, you know, the davening is the one and only God. Well, you know, sometimes they were davening for good things. So can you go in there and daven? So Rav Nebenzahl, not about that shayla, Rav Nebenzahl had paskin that you're not allowed to destroy a mosque. Because you can't destroy a shul. You can't destroy a base tefillah. Shachter thought that that's crazy. What are you talking about? It's a base of a desire. You can't walk into one. It's a base of a desire. It's machlokas. Do you view that? Klapei us, do we view that as a base level desire? Obviously, a much broader topic than we're going to get to in our Bishlach discussions. So I had someone in the Tiv go over and ask him that question. Right? How are we going to. So it's machlokas happens to be. It happens to be machlokas midrashim and rishon. How the third base image is going to be built. Are we going to have to do it, or is it just going to be Yorid Min HaShemayim? So if we're going to have to build it, well, then we're going to have to knock down whatever's in its way. So you could argue, I mean, I think one of them tells all the guys to upgrade, you're allowed to do it, right? We knock down shuls in order to build better shuls. So it'll certainly be an upgrade. I always point out, just the Zatara Shkafa, that we have, you know, all these midrashim about the Beis HaMikdash coming down, Beis HaMikdash Shlishi coming down in HaShemayim. There is no midrash that I'm aware of that tells us that plumbing networks and electrical networks and hotels and apartments and office buildings and farms and fields and are all going to be Yorid Min HaShemayim, right? That is obviously something we have to do. Clearly. So it always strikes me when you go to Israel and you see cranes everywhere and building going on everywhere. Right? That's our role in the Geula. Even if Hashem's role is he's going to bring down the Mikdash, our role is to build the infrastructure where all of it's going to be able to live in. And we've done a marvelous job of that over the last 70 years, of really creating incredible infrastructure. And it keeps on going. Okay, I got my Zionist minute. Last thing, just quickly, because we don't really have time for it. There is a fundamental machlokas between Tosfos and the Ran, which Gezerah came first. Tosfos says it's obvious that the Gezerah of Bishalakum came before Pasakum, because the Gemara never entertains that Pasakum might be Daraisa. The Gemara starts with an assumption, until it proves otherwise, that Bishalakum is Daraisa. And it's only at the end, when it doesn't fit the Pasuk, we say, okay, so it must be a very early Durabana. Then the Rishonim and the Achronim have to try to figure out why it is when they asked Bishalakum they wouldn't ask Pasakum. On the flip side, the Ran understands that Pasakum came first, Bishalakum came later. Why would they ask Pasakum and not Bishalakum? By the way, the Ran writes in Maseches Beitzah explicitly, the Gemara thought it was Daraisa at first. He said, no, it didn't. That's the way the Gemara works. The Gemara, it entertains you for a while before it tells you what it knew all along. But it knew the whole time it was just an Asmachta. That's just the way the Gemara works sometimes. Fascinating. Tosfos says, no, the Gemara was serious. He really thought it was Daraisa. It seems that Achronim point in both directions. They point to the unique status of Pas as being a staple, as being something that's critical to a person's diet, in both directions. That might be more of a reason why they wanted to be Gozer on Pas first, like the Ran says, because that's going to bring you closest, it's what you need most. But it also works in the other direction. That might be the explanation of Tosfos also, why they didn't want to be Gozer on Pas, only on Bishul. It was too much to handle. They can't be there, not authorized to be Gozer, Gzer Shein Rov, Tzibir Chol Lamalba. So they can't do it. And only later they realize, maybe we can. Maybe we could still get away with it. Tosfos also has a little bit of an arichus about whether Pas and Bishul are really different things. Whether Bishul and Afi are different things. And he tries to make a tzushtel, tries to make a comparison to the laws of Erev Tavshilin. But we don't have time to get into that right now. Tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem, I would very much like to begin the exceptions to the Isurim of Bishalakim, namely Nechal Kamo Shulchai, Einol Shulchum Lachim, and then we'll see there's a third exception that gets less fanfare than the other two. Be'ezras Hashem, we'll get into that tomorrow.